It has been said that the measure of a person is their aspiration. And I think there's truth to that because not everybody succeeds at what they want. Even though the sages tell us that yigaito matzasa tamen, that if a person tries very hard and makes all the efforts, they'll surely succeed. The truth also is that is the case with regard to fulfilling your destiny. Because Hashem doesn't make impossible demands. So if you do your best to serve Hashem, you will succeed in serving Hashem. But it doesn't mean you're going to get the success that you typically think of as success. So the person who would like to be a multimillionaire may never become wealthy. And the person who would like to be a star athlete may never make it onto the track team. They don't guarantee these things. So if you look at a person, what a person accomplishes, and say, well, we can judge a person by what they accomplished, I would think that's unfair, because there is something called mazel and good fortune and luck. And some people want certain things, but for whatever reason, they don't get it. It wasn't their destiny. It wasn't meant to be. Hashem didn't bless them with this. But a person's aspirations, that tells you about who the person is. What does the person really want? What do we yearn for? What do we desire? And I'm saying this as kind of an opening for the study of the next couple of verses of Psalm 119. We're going to try to go through three verses today. Kuf Chav Gimel, Chav Dalad, and Chav Hei, verses 123, 24, and 25. In all of which, David HaMelech, King David, expresses heartfelt yearning and aspiration. What did he strive for? What did he live for? What did he want? Einai Kalu. Pasuk Kuf Chav Gimel, verse 123, opens with David HaMelech saying that his eyes pine li Yeshua Secha, for God's salvation. David HaMelech pines for God's salvation. Uli Imras Tzidkecha, and for your sayings of righteousness. So what does he pine for? Salvation or sayings of righteousness? So Rashi says it's not a question. It's one and the same. How could God's salvation and sayings of righteousness be one and the same? So Rashi says, Haftocho shehivtachtani, the promise you made. So there's a promise. God makes promises to King David, or makes promises to the Jewish people. And those are righteous sayings. And David HaMelech yearns for God's salvation, because God's salvation are the promises that he made. We find something similar in the words of the Metzudas David, who says, L'kiyum imras tzidkecha, to the fulfillment of your righteous sayings. So this righteous sayings, God made guarantees, promises, righteous sayings to David HaMelech. And David HaMelech yearns for the fulfillment of those things. And this would be, I guess, what David HaMelech means when he says, L'yishu oscha, for your salvation, because your salvation is the fulfillment of those promises. The Radak says kind of something along those lines. He says that Imras Tzidkecha is Ho'amura b'haftachoscha. You promised me Ayideh HaNavi by virtue of the prophet. And I think that all of these different commentaries who are speaking about God's promise, which includes incidentally the words of the Me'iri, it's all rooted really in the Medrash Tilim, because the Medrash Tilim says, La'eza Amira, which is the Imras Tzidkecha. All the Torah is righteous sayings. Righteous means right. If it's in the Torah, it's right. And the Medrash Tilim goes through a whole slew of different verses, some of them in Tilim itself. He quotes Isaiah, Ezekiel, and even goes back to quoting the Chumash itself and the promises that God made to Moshe Rabbeinu. And truth be told, on a midrashic level, the Tilim could be speaking to us in many tongues and in many voices and over the strata of history and the voice of many people. But here, since on a level of pshat, it's David HaMelech talking, so Rashi simply kind of conflates the ideas of the Medrash Tilim by saying, Haftocha shivtachtani, the promises you made for me. Whether they were the promises to David HaMelech personally, whether we read this Tilim in a broader fashion, the salvation that we await is the salvation we were promised. Which brings me to the first question for this morning. If the salvation that's awaited is the salvation that's promised, why does David HaMelech say, Einai kolu, which translates as my eyes pine? The Mitzvah Sion says, Einai kolu, taiva hamisacheres, when something is yearned for, is desired for, is craved for, and it's not coming. That's when you get kolu. That's the meaning of pining for something. Pining is something, means something you have expected, something you awaited, something you anticipated, something you were promised, something that was supposed to be coming your way, and for heaven's sake, it isn't coming. So, einai kolu, you keep looking for it. You keep pining for it. Like somebody promised to show up, and you keep looking to the door. Are they coming? Are they here yet? When are our guests arriving? So there's a guarantee, there's an expectation, and the expectation is not being met. That, says Mitzvah Sin, is the meaning of kolu. And the Mitzvah David reflects this when he says, Einai tsoifim li Yeshuascha, my eyes are looking deeply, looking for your salvation. Because kolim kimisacheres lave, I'm pining, I'm yearning, heinam kolim kimisacheres lave, because there's a delay. It's not coming yet. We thought it would be here already. We expected things to be right, and they aren't right yet. So from this perspective, the pasuk has to be understood very, very simply, that God made promises. David is fully faithful that the promises will be fulfilled. Everything Hashem guaranteed will unfold in real time, but it's taken a heck of a lot of time to happen. And because it takes time for it to happen, David HaMelech pines for it, and he yearns for it. So if it would happen quickly, there would be no pining. If he didn't believe it was coming, there would be no pining. It's kind of a conflation of both of these things. It's a synergy. It's a synergy of perfect faith that this will happen, at the same time, the sad reality that it isn't happening yet. And I think that the best way we could understand this is how we look at our yearning for Mashiach. We are enjoined to believe that Mashiach will come. We are further enjoined to await the coming of Mashiach. The Rambam says, "Kol mi she'ina maimin bay," anybody who doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach. And then he adds three words, "Ve'ena mechake libiyosoi." It is not enough simply to believe Mashiach could come or even will come. It is necessary for a yid to anticipate the coming of Mashiach. And it's been a very long time. So we're pining. We're waiting. And the Sefarno actually tells us that this is talking about exactly that. He says, Ein ikolu, my eyes pine, begalus. This is David HaMelech speaking perhaps about his own personal situation, but in a broader sense, this is David HaMelech who gives ear to the yearning of the Jewish people who are craving the arrival of David HaMelech, or Mashiach ben David. And what is Lishuascha then? What is the salvation? What if things aren't bad in Galut? What if there isn't anti-Semitism? Imagine that. What if Jewish people aren't being persecuted? They're being feted and appreciated for their observance of the Torah and its mitzvahs. There have been times like this in history. Oh, then we don't need Mashiach. Chas v'shalom. The Rambam doesn't qualify and say, if things are bad for Jewish people, that's when you have to yearn for Mashiach. If you're healthy, happy, and wealthy, well, that's another story. God forbid. We have to yearn for Mashiach all the time. I have a friend, a good friend and a colleague. His name is Rabbi Sheistaub. And it says when you say something in the name of somebody else, it's mevi gu'ulu lo'ilum, it brings redemption to the world, that accelerates the process. So let me tell you in his name, because he told me. He said to me, what does it mean when the Rebbe said that nobody's saying ad masai, nobody's saying enough of galus, we can't take it anymore, with the emet, with the truth? He said, have there not been situations where people were so distraught, so in pain, so racked with difficulty? So he said to me something I thought was very wise. He said, when somebody has a sick child and he's screaming ad masai because he has a sick child, he's not really asking for Mashiach. He's asking for a healthy child. When somebody is faced with their own mortality and they say, oi, the galus is so long, they're not really asking for Mashiach, they're asking for a healing, that they should be well. When somebody has no parnasa, they're saying, oi, when is Mashiach coming? What they're really saying is, when I'm winning the lottery. When there's anti-Semitism, or Jewish people in Israel are suffering, or around the world are suffering, we say, oi, the galus. They're not really saying, oi, the galus. They're saying, oi, the white supremacists, oi, the Islamofascists, oi, right and left, who are coming together and developing their own ugly hatreds and biases. But if only they can go back to the dark corners and leave us alone, well, then that case. So he says to me, they're not, that's what the Rebbe meant. And he may be right. This is the problem. We're not asking for Mashiach. What is Mashiach? Mashiach is that you want to see the revelation of God. Nobody's interested in the revelation of God. Who's God? How did he get into my life? How did he get in my way? I'm doing all kinds of important things. Who has time for God? Some people are so religious and so busy carving themselves out a slice of heaven, then suddenly comes that God doesn't want this. What do you mean God doesn't want this? You need to get out of the way. I am on the way to Gan Eden. I'm on the way to carving my path to heaven. And you're telling me stories about God wants it. I can't be bothered with that. Of course, what I'm telling you sounds ridiculous, but it is, if you think about it carefully, what sometimes people, maybe even ourselves, are saying. And the point then is, David HaMelech yearns for the coming of Mashiach. The Sefardo doesn't say, Lishu Ascha, doesn't mean because they're suffering. He says, Mishibud Malchias, because we're under the dominion of foreign governments. And dominion of foreign governments does not mean that we are being persecuted. It means we are inhibited from knowing Hashem fully. We're inhibited from full subservience to Hashem. And he says, this is the Imra Sidkecha. He takes us to the book of Deuteronomy. He takes us to Parshas Ki Tavo, where there is the Tochacha, the terrible rebuke, but the promise that Yoshev Hashem losis olecha l'tev, God will return to you to rejoice with you. And that's how he describes the future with the coming of Mashiach. So really, the urgency in the kolu einai, the pining of the eyes, can be understood as a poignant and powerful prayer for the coming of Mashiach. Or what Mashiach represents in the David HaMelech's time, what did it represent? Well, that's exactly what you see the psukim unfold, as the Chida and many others say. He says, Aseim avdecha, avdecha ani, do with your servant. I am your servant. What's he asking for? Verse 124 finishes off, Chukecha lamdeini. Teach me your statutes. Verse 125 finishes off. I will know your testimonies. Good morning, Zelda.
Good morning. Thank you for being with us.
It's always a pleasure. A very happy and meaningful Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot, New Year for trees, proverbially called Tu B'Shvat, to you and to all of our listeners. I think the question is, why are so few Jewish people aware of anything Jewish, not only of this holiday? This holiday is not exactly what you'd call on the top 10. And it doesn't have great excitement associated with it, although the JNF very cleverly co-opted it as a tree planting holiday, which has nothing to do with Jewish tradition, or the code of Jewish law, or the sayings or teachings of our sages. And don't get me wrong, Zelda, I love the JNF, I support the JNF, and I think it's very important for us to plant, develop, and build the land of Israel. But I don't see a reason for us to falsely attribute that to Tu B'Shvat, to Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. We should plant in the land of Israel every day of our lives. We should build the land of Israel every day. I really and truly almost like take exception to when people co-opt ideas and ideals of Torah Judaism to fit their own narratives. And then, of course, you have the lunatic left who has embraced Tu B'Shvat as the day of environmentalism and the day of recycling and Jewish Earth Day. This pure mumbo-jumbo. This is so untrue, Zelda. It rankles me. Stop lying. If you want to live a life that is fueled by ideas and ideals that are profoundly liberal, socialist, or Western, have a great life. Enjoy. Don't blame it on God and Judaism. Don't blame it on Torah. Don't blame it on our cherished tradition that has stretched across the sands of time back to Mount Sinai and Revelation. Rosh Hashanah le'ilan, on a simple level, is the day in which the tithes of the land of Israel are decided. So you pay taxes, I pay taxes, we all have a year's end. The year's end for us as individual citizens of this country is in the end of April. And if you have a business, or if you run a charitable organization, I do the latter, you also have a year's end. We had a year's end that didn't work for us. Our year's end used to be in the end of June. It's great for a school, very bad for a shul. So we changed our year's end. We made a short year, and our year's end is in August and starts again in September, because that's when most people will rejoin a shul, and that's when the annual reset of support comes our way. So we have year's ends. It's a simple equation of how you work things out. Your birthday is a year's end of sorts, Zelda. On your birthday, you look back at the year that has passed. You weigh accomplishments and achievements, and you are honest about your failings, and you make a decision to try to work on them and buttress the things that you've done well, and then try to minimize or do away with the mistakes that you've been making. A year's end, an annual review, is a very healthy thing. In the land of Israel, tithes have to be given from the harvest that comes from trees, also known in English as fruit. And so Rosh Hashanah le'ilan is that year's end. You are going to provide the tithes or observe these mitzvot as per the agricultural cycle in the land of Israel, not on Rosh Hashanah, which comes in September, which comes in the pre-fall season, but rather on the Rosh Hashanah le'ilan, because at this point everything's been harvested and the fresh sap begins to flow into the roots that are far beneath the surface of the soil. And the trees in the land of Israel begin to come to life again. Fresh blossoms will soon appear around the Judean hills. Of course, the almond trees blossom first, and that's where the nursery rhyme, Hashkedi Aparachat, the almonds are blossoming, comes from. But that has nothing to do with planting trees, Zelda. And it certainly has nothing to do with the environment. It says to each and every one of us that we, and I say we as the Jewish people, but really I think we could extend this to all of humanity, should look towards Avodat Hashem, the service of God, and look past the bare necessities. You know that expression, give us our daily bread? Bread in Torah literature represents the notion of what you need to survive. Nobody needs dates, figs, and pomegranates to survive. You need basic carbohydrates. But nobody serves a slice of bread for dessert or hors d'oeuvres. And these are sweet things, nice things, things which are unnecessary, but they color, flavor, and bring us a sense of passion and beauty in life. And fruits have a delightful taste. They come in all colors and different shapes. And its message for us is that we should strive to serve Hashem not only according to the bare minimum, not just following your quote-unquote orthodox checklist that I follow the halacha or do the bare minimum, but we should strive to serve Hashem in a fruity fashion, to go beyond the call of duty, to take pride and joy in what we do. This is really and truly, Zelda, about the service of Hashem. And the service of Hashem is the fulfillment of its holy Torah. Yes, it is true. The Torah does expect us on some level also to be mindful of the environment in which we live. We shouldn't live wasteful lives. We should live sinful lives. But to obsess over a tiny point that's mentioned in the Torah and to simply ignore with impunity the vast majority of the Torah is not a reflection of truth, integrity, and certainly not an accurate depiction of Judaism. Always my pleasure. Zelda, I try to give you the straight goods to the best of my ability. And let me just end with the hope and the prayer that we will stir as the roots are beneath the soil in the land of Israel. The Shekedia, the almond, is also symbolic of redemption because it blossoms with haste, and we hope and pray that as Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Tatzmiach, as we say each and every day in our prayers, that the coming of Mashiach will blossom with great speed, and that very, very soon, and in our time, the icy indifference will melt, and that a new world filled with the flowering of redemption and the ushering in of peace for all of humanity will come our way, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days. Amen. So this is the notion of David HaMelech's aspirations then. This is what he's looking for. This is what he pines for. This is what he hopes for. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that there is a little bit of another approach in the other commentaries. For example, the Ibn Ezra makes this very personal, very technical, actually about David HaMelech, and he says, Einai, my eyes, li yishuascha, for your salvation. He doesn't transcribe the word kolu, doesn't talk about pine. He says, Miyado Ishkim, there are those who really oppressed David HaMelech. And David HaMelech says, So what I'm looking for is your decree that the right thing, that fairness should be done and justice should be served. So what pressures David HaMelech? Why is he pining? Why is he yearning? Well, he's pining and yearning because he's oppressed, because he's being squeezed. But this, of course, is very, very personal. The Radak also explains this on a pshat level as personal with regard to David HaMelech. He says, Shetoshi eini min hazedim, so that you might bring me salvation from the wanton sinners, shelo ya'ashkuni, so that they will not oppress me. Kiloimar, in other words, the David HaMelech, when he prayed and he hoped for salvation and being able to transcend the difficulties that beset him, leitzipisi liyishuas odom, I did not await human salvation, the help of flesh and blood, Ela li Yeshua Secha. I was looking for your promise, your guarantee, what you told me through your prophets. I don't believe it's a contradiction. The words of David HaMelech are literal, and he is speaking about his own personal life, but ultimately it's much larger than David as an individual, and David HaMelech comes to represent all of us. And as we said, this kolu, this yearning, this aspiration, for David HaMelech it was for God's salvation in the immediate sense, but for all of us, our aspiration should be that we should be able to know Hashem. That should be our aspiration. That should be the thing that's most important to us. If we are to judge a person by their aspirations rather than by their achievements and accomplishments and successes, then we should be judged by kolu. Einai kolu. What do our eyes pine for? What do we yearn for? What did David HaMelech yearn for? And what should we yearn for? So it isn't foolhardy for us to say we can follow the path of David HaMelech, even though who can compare himself to such a great tzaddik, an extraordinary figure in Jewish history, and a person whose prophetic voice reverberates over the ages, in whose voice we can find our own ability to express ourselves. That's true. However, the basic premise here that David HaMelech aspired for closeness to God is something that every one of us could incorporate into our own lives. In the words of Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chiyun, as quoted by the Mamloyes, he says, Einai nichsefu. This is a yearning, a pining that David HaMelech says for he has for God's salvation. Why, says he? Why did David HaMelech yearn for it? So, as we said, Metzudas of it said, because it's delayed in coming. He says, who said it was delayed in coming? Sha'ataragalayshieni. It's my expectation. He had expectations. David HaMelech says, I know you've always been there for me, and therefore I know you will be there for me. So what am I aspiring to? For you, because I know you're going to be there for me. It's a rock-solid expression of faith. The aspiration, the yearning, is not so much because it's necessarily delaying or tarrying, but it's because this is what I expect, this is what I anticipate, this is what I've been promised, and this is what I know is going to come my way. So it expresses a certitude. Hashem will be there for me. And because that, I'm looking for it at all times. And this flows now into the next verse. Asay im avdecha, do with your servant chichasdecha, as per your kindness, v'chukecha lamdeni. So here it gets very interesting. He says, Asay im avdecha chichasdecha, do with your servant as per your kindness, and not what? And not as God's not kindness? Like, what is he saying here? So the Radak says, "K'moy shahoya chazdecha imi kamapamim." Just as you've been kind to me all along, I'm asking that you continue to be kind to me. In other words, David HaMelech did not have an expectation that he has to be experiencing deliverance. The things he didn't live with that. What do they call it? Some young people today have this attitude where they're entitled. He didn't have this entitlement. Entitlement. He said, "It's kechas decha. I deserve it." Entitlement means I deserve. It's mine. It's coming to me. The other one says, "No. It's not coming. Nothing's coming to me. But this is what I've come to enjoy. So please, God, continue to be kind with me as you have been in the past." Mitzudas David adds a very interesting idea here. He says, "Kechas decha means what not." V'loi kefi ma'isai. David HaMelech said, please don't give me what I deserve. Please don't give me what I deserve. Give me what your kindness affords me. Because if we go about what I deserve, I can fall short all the time. Always ask for God's kindness. And the Chida says the same thing here. He says this. The idea here is that David HaMelech ultimately is asking for Hashem's kindness, not, he says, in accordance with what I necessarily deserve. Sorry, that was not a chida. Where did I see it? Oh, Richi Yun, sorry. The Beni Yitzchak Yun says, Loi kefi maisai, not according to my actions, ela kefi chastecha. So I'm not so sure if this is connected, but this is, I'd like to suggest the following. I once heard that the mayor of Primishlan was a great disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. The mayor of Primishlan was somewhere, and they asked him to teach something, Torah. So he said, why does David HaMelech say in Psalms, in Tillim, he says, Va'ata chosid, you God are pious or kind, Tishalim le'ish k'maseyu, you repay each person according to their deeds. So the mayor asked, that's kind? That's judgment. That's normal. You get what you deserve. Tishal neish kemaseyu. Each person is getting repaid, recompensed according to what they deserve, not according to God's kindness. So why is that vata chosid? Because vata shofet, you're a judge. But why vata chosid? So he said, a lot of times, people imagine themselves and portray themselves to be far more righteous than they really are. And they have this skewed self vision. The way they envision themselves, and more importantly, the way they present themselves and tell everybody that they're very, very righteous, and they, you know, masquerade as being some kind of super tzaddik. So Hashem says, "Ata chosid." We say Hashem is a chosid. The shalom lishkem maasehu. You pay back the person, meaning you judge the person according to who they really are, rather than according to who they say they are. You know, there's a joke they tell of this lawyer who comes to heaven, and he says, "God, how could you do this to me? I'm in the prime of my career. I was making so much money and life was so good. And I'm only 69. And what it took me?" And he said, "Well, let's check the records." I said, "Well, according to your billable records, you have to be at least 92. It's a joke. The point of you got it. So the portrayal might be as you know, super righteous and far more than a person really is, but Hashem gives according to chassid. Hashem gives kindness. Hashem doesn't. He discounts what people say about themselves, how they portray themselves, and you're getting really judged by what you deserve. Maybe there's a relationship between the two. I'm not sure. At any rate, here we do have Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chiyun as well as Mitzudas David emphasizing that David HaMelech ask kechasdecha. It should be according to your kindness. So what does Hashem? What does He want? Do for me according to your kindness, and v'chukech alamdeni. Teach me your statutes. So what's the business of teach me your statutes? So Mitzudas David says, in other words, zeh hachesed. That's the kindness. David HaMelech didn't say, God, be kind to me. Make me a fat bank account. Give me all the things I crave and desire. No, he said, be kind to me. What do you want? No problem, granted. What do you want? Oh, what I want? Lamdeni chukecha. Chukecha, teach me your statutes. Once again, David HaMelech is sharing with us his aspirations. When he looked for kindness from God, what was he looking for? He was looking for God's Torah to be wise. That's what he wanted from God. So once again, we could judge David HaMelech by virtue of his aspirations. What should we look for in life? Chukecha lamdeni. And this idea of chukecha lamdeni, very interestingly, the Radak says, if you don't bring me salvation, I won't be able to learn your Torah. He says, Shaloi yatriduni hazedim. These wanton sinners, these criminals, these people who are constantly throwing obstacles in my path, they're not allowing me to learn Torah. But I want to learn your Torah. So therefore, bring me salvation, verse 123. Do with me kindly, v'chukach alamdeni, that I'll be able to study your Torah. Now, interestingly, this idea of David Melch wanting to study Torah, it sounds like almost like chukach alamdeni. I will learn your Torah. I'm going to do this. However, David Melch continues, and he says, avdcha ani, I am your servant. Havineni. Havineni comes to the word bina. Make me understand. Ve'eda idasecha. If you make me understand, then I'll know your testimonies. So the Medrash Tilum says, Havineni. Havineni is le'teimer harei asefer lefanecha. Don't say, well, go read the books. You want to learn? Go learn. He says, no. Don't say to me, go and learn. David HaMelech says, you make me understand. You open my mind. You give me the ability to understand. So in other words, David HaMelech was not simply asking for freedom to be able to study and pursue the knowledge of Torah and the relationship that he could have with Hashem. David HaMelech says to Hashem, you make me wise. You open my mind. And once you do that, then I will know how to serve you. So Maharam Arama says, when you open my mind, and when I know you, then I will know how to serve you. Because sizing up, if you will, God, will enable David HaMelech to understand what God actually is looking for. So what David HaMelech is looking for ultimately is not simply knowledge, but the knowledge that will lead to observance. The knowledge that will lead to cultivating their relationship with God. So this way he says, Havineni, and once it's Havineni, the Eda, then I will know Edasecha, then I will know your testimonies, then I will be able to properly serve you. As Zadok says, Eini chafetz halimud, I'm not just looking for education. I'm not just looking for wisdom. He says, what I'm looking for is lavei desecha. What I want is to serve you. And that's why I'm saying havineni. If David HaMelech just wanted education or knowledge, if he just wanted insight and intuition, fine, so work hard, you'll learn, you'll know. But he says, I want to serve you. And in order for me to be able to serve you, so havineni, make me understand, she'eda ikram v'taimam, if I understand the profundity, the depth, the foundation, the essence of the mitzvah, then I can serve you properly. Otherwise, I'm just reading what it says in the book. But I don't necessarily know you, and not really understand the full depth of what we discuss. So what is his aspiration? David HaMelech's aspiration is that God should give him salvation. He's yearning for closeness to God. David HaMelech's aspiration is that God should be kind with him. And what does kind mean? His aspiration is chukach alamdeni. He should be able to study Hashem's Torah. David HaMelech's aspiration, his yearning, his request is havineni. Havineni, make me understand. Why? Then I know your testimonies, then I can serve you. In other words, what he ultimately pines for is the ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Sefarno says, why do we say Havineni ve'edei desecha? So he says, Shamarta, you says in your Torah, Lososim and Adavar, Asher Yugidulucha. You shall not veer away from the words which they have told you. So therefore, what I'm asking is, I should understand your Torah so that I won't veer away from the words that you told us. And interestingly, that pasuk actually is understood to refer to the Sanhedrin. So here, David HaMelech asks not that he be judged by his own merit, but it's kechazdecha. And the Sefarno adds the words, loy bezuchusi, not by my merits. And he takes it in the direction of galus. He says, when we're in a galus situation, there's things which hanishkachim me, many things that are forgotten from me. So he says, lamdeni, teach me, means when everybody will come back together at the ingathering of the exiles, then I will become wise all over again. Now, everything we've explained thus far is all about David HaMelech's aspiration, his yearning for God, how he wants to be close to Hashem, how he wants to be in a state, as the Shaar HaChaim says, that should be shemevatel atzmed legamri b'fnei reimus Hashem. He self-suspends before the glory of God. He's like an eved, he's like a servant who is looking towards Hashem. It's all about David HaMelech as a servant of Hashem. He's worried about not being able to fulfill his destiny, his mission, and the purpose of his creation. There is a little bit of another way of understanding this. And this is an idea that's promulgated by the Alshech and also spelled out by the Chida in his Sefer on Tilim Yosef Tehilis. And he says like this. The Ein Kolu, which is the beginning of these three verses that follow in quick succession. The Ein Kolu, the pining, the yearning, is not because of David HaMelech's personal pain or personal challenges or even the challenges of the nation of Israel. He says, the Ein Kolu, he says, Ani mitztayer, says the Yosef Tehilis, my pain, my frustration comes from hitztaros HaShechina, from the pain of the Shechina. In other words, David HaMelech says, what bothers me, Ein Kolu l'shu osecha, not for your salvation, you taking care of me, but when I'm in Golos, the Shechina's in Golos. So what we're asking for, what bothers me, is that you're in Golos. I'm worried about you. The famous Rav of Chernigov, Rav David Tzvi Chen, well-known chassid, a famous chassid, and one of the great rabbinic figures of the 19th century Russia. So they call him Radatz. So Rav David Tzvi, or Hirschel, David Hirschel Chen, he used to say like this. He used to say, Loi ira ra, I don't fear, David HaMelech says in Psalm 23, Gam ki elech begeitz al mavas, I walk in the shadow of death. Lo ira ra, I don't fear evil. Ki ata imadi, because you're with me. That's usually the way we understand it. So he used to explain it a little bit differently. He says, lo ira, I'm not afraid. Ra, you know what's bad for me? What's bad for me is ata imadi, that you have to be here with me. That's the part that bothers me. He says, whatever, I made my mistakes. I'll go through my travails, my troubles, my difficulties. But that God is with me, I believe that God's presence is with me. Because in the soul, when the Jewish people go into Golos, Hashem says he goes into Golos. U'b'chol tzarosam, and in all of the pain of our nation, loy tzar, God has pain. So David Tzvi Chen said, I'm in love with God. I worry about my lover. I'm worried about God. He didn't blame God for his problems and say, why do you do this, God, and the other thing? He understood that ultimately there's a synergy here. And that when things go wrong, if things go south, we have a role to play. And we have an answer. We have things to answer for. And he believed with absolute faith that ultimately we cause things to happen. And so he said, Ra, you know what's bad for me? Ki ata imadi. And maybe this is what David HaMelech says here, according to the Alshech and the Yosef Tehilis. What he's saying here is, Chida's saying, Ein Kolu, my eyes finally shua secha, for your salvation, that the Shechina will come out of Golos. That the Shechina will be reunited or made whole again. And he says, V'gam Yisrael him b'tzar. The Jewish people are also suffering. So it doesn't mean you're indifferent to human suffering, but it goes beyond just simply the notion of human suffering. But here, we come out with this notion that David HaMelech was yearning, his aspiration was not only for personal salvation, was not only that he gave ear to national salvation, but ultimately, the greatest aspiration for David HaMelech was for God himself. And this is the highest level of an eved, of a servant who thinks not of himself, but thinks always of his or her master. And that's how these psukim are punctuated. From the last verse that says, Arei v'avdecha, David HaMelech calls himself a servant. Verse 123, Ein Kolu, he pines. And then in verse 124 and 125, emphasizing, Aseim avdecha, do with your servant. Avdecha ani, I am but your servant. Ve'eda eda secha. So David HaMelech's subservience to God and his striving to serve God also brought him concern, pain, and anxiety over the quote-unquote Golos HaShechina, or the suffering of the Divine Presence. Such was the aspirations of the great songful king, David HaMelech, our psalmist, and those are the aspirations that we have to try to yearn for in our lives, to yearn for Mashiach every day of our life, to yearn for a greater closeness to Hashem, to appeal that Hashem should do with us as per His kindness, meaning open our eyes and our hearts and our minds and our souls for closeness to Hashem. And in doing so, we do accelerate the process of the coming of Mashiach, because yearning for Mashiach in and of itself, the achak eloi, the yearning for Mashiach, accelerates the process of Mashiach's arrival. May it be speedily and in our days. Amen.